We'll turn again to our Lord in prayer and ask his blessing on the scriptures, that we turn to them in a moment. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask this morning that thou be with each one of us here, that thou draw near to us, and that thou speak to us through thy word that's going to be preached. Our Father, we ask, O Lord, that thy word this morning may not return to the void. We pray, Lord, that it may bless those who speak it, and we pray that it might be blessed to those who hear it, that give to each one of us spiritually, as that we might hear these things as from thyself. So give us understanding, we pray, help us to apply these things to our hearts, and may we be encouraged as believers in Christ this morning, if indeed we are in him. So hear us and help us now this morning. We ask it in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, normally on a Lord's Day morning or Lord's Day evening or even a Thursday evening, I've just one text for you. This morning, you're going to do very well because I have three for you. Not one, not two, three texts for you. And they are as follows. I try to point them out to you as we went through the service this morning. The first one is Job chapter 17 and verse 9. The second one is Psalm 94 and verse 14. And the third one is Psalm 125 and verses 1 and 2. There are many other like them, teaching the same truth about the perseverance of the saints, the final perseverance of the saints in grace to glory, which is our subject, our theme this morning. Let me read these three verses out to you. First of all, the one in Job, where Job himself said under inspiration of the Holy Ghost that the righteous shall also hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. And then the first one in the Psalm 94 and verse 14, that they that trust in the Lord, trust in Jehovah, shall be as Mount Zion, shall be like Jerusalem, and the hill on which it was set, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. I beg your pardon, Psalm 94 and verse 14 is, for the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. And then the one in Psalm 125 and verses 1 and 2 is the one I just quoted to you, that they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even for ever. So not one text this morning, those three, and we're going to look at each one of those in a little while. Last Lord's Day morning, the Lord's Day morning before that one, we carried on looking at this general theme of ours on Lord's Day morning at the moment. That is the theme of the new creation. The new creation is what it is for us, if we are believers, what it is to become a Christian believer in Jesus Christ, and what it is to be a believer in him, what is true of us if we are in Christ. And on an occasion, we looked at the truth of God's word, the truth of the scripture, the biblical teaching concerning our union with our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. If you something that is true as far as every single Christian believer is concerned, and every person who is a true member of the church of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Each one of us, each one of them, is united spiritually to Christ. They have a spiritual union and link and connection with him which can never ever be severed. Once joined to Christ, we're joined to him forever. That is why we can never lose our salvation, because this relationship we have with him can never ever be broken once we've repented and believed in him. So concerning that union with Christ, we look first of all at what the scripture has to teach us about it. We looked at a number of descriptions in the scriptures concerning it, that every Christian is in Christ Jesus. And then we looked at the illustrations or the analogies of the scriptures, particularly in the New Testament, concerning it. When you come across illustrations like the head and the body, and the chief cornerstone, and the stones, the vine and the branches, it's all teaching this, that every single Christian is united to Christ. These are illustrations of it. So we looked at the scripture teaching on this. Secondly, we looked at, therefore, out of those descriptions and out of those illustrations and analogies, we looked at the character of the union that we have with Christ. Thirdly, we saw how this is made and how this is formed, how this is created within us. Not by us, but by God. By God the Holy Spirit. He is the one who does this. He is the one, the Holy Spirit is the one who unites us to the Lord Jesus Christ in this spiritual and eternal way. And the fourth and the final thing we looked at on that occasion is the consequences of this union. Some of those that we're not aware of, some of the things we are, like having communion and union and fellowship with the Father and with Jesus Christ, his Son. We finished last time I was preaching to you on this, by asking the following, whether the descriptions of this union describe and the illustrations of it illustrate us, you and me. Whether or not we share the character of this union, whether we have this spiritual, organic union with Christ, we share the character of it, whether this is something that has begun in us, been created within us, been formed within us by the Holy Spirit and by a saving faith in Christ. And fourthly, whether or not we are indeed experiencing some of the consequences of it that we can experience in our day-to-day Christian lives, like fellowship with the Father and with Jesus Christ, his Son, and so on. So we're looking at that last time. We carry on our main theme of the new creation this morning now, but this time by looking at this great biblical teaching, this great biblical doctrine concerning the final perseverance of the saints. And indeed, my dear friends, it's because we're united to Christ that this is true of us. That every single Christian believer will finally persevere to the end of their Christian lives, not only to death, but also to glory. It is the final perseverance of the saints in grace, in the grace of God, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, all the way to heaven, all the way to glory, which I trust will come as a great relief and as a great comfort and encouragement to you this morning, particularly if you're finding the way difficult and hard as a Christian. You are going to persevere. You are. Because this is something that God is doing in you. It's his salvation. And he's not started something that he's going to discontinue or not complete. He is going to see it through. He's not only going to justify you, he's going to sanctify you. He's not only going to sanctify you, he's going to finally glorify you together with his Son, Jesus Christ, that you might be heirs and co-heirs with him in glory. So let's look at this teaching this morning. First of all, but let me just give you a few words concerning what this is, to be a little bit more particular and specific. And then thirdly, let's look at these three texts that I've quoted to you a little bit earlier on. So what is this? What is perseverance? What is the perseverance of the saints? What is this P in the Calvinistic tulip, that P at the end there? It stands for perseverance of the saints, the final perseverance of the saints in glory. What is it? Well, it is this. It is that those who are truly regenerated by the Spirit of God, those who are truly born again, and those as a result of that new birth have been not only heard the general call of the gospel to repent and believe, but have been effectually called, have actually repented and believed in Jesus Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior from all of their sins. And thus been really converted, repented and believed, and eternally sanctified by the Spirit and grace of God. What is true of them? It is this. You will persevere in grace to the end of your Christian life. And you will be everlastingly saved. You will never finally and totally fall. You may backslide. You may sometimes fail. You may sometimes deviate from one side to the other in the Christian life and deviate from the narrow way, but you will never do so as to perish everlastingly. You are safe in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're in Him forever. God is not going to lose you. God is not going to let you go. God is not going to drop you. He's going to hold you and He's going to carry you even to your hoar heads, even to your grey hairs, even to the end of your Christian life and into His everlasting presence. So that, briefly, is what we're dealing with here, the final perseverance of the saints in grace to glory. Now this is something that is taught in the Scriptures. It is rooted in the Scriptures, both of the Old and the New Testaments. This morning we're looking at three texts in the Old Testament. First of all, Job chapter 17 and verse 9, then Psalm 94 and verse 14, and then Psalm 125 and verses 1 and 2. All of which verses, yes, even in the Old Testament, teach this truth. So this truth may be confirmed and proved from these three passages out of the Old Testament scripture of the Bible, which clearly hold it forth, which clearly assert it, and which clearly fully express and describe it. Well, you judge for yourselves as we look at these three verses this morning. First of all, then, Job chapter 17 and verse 9. Let me remind you of this text. We should memorize these texts, shouldn't we? They'll help us in our Christian lives to persevere. If we memorize these things, if we meditate upon them, we pray through them, we trust them, we believe these promises concerning all of God's people. What did Job say? Job said this, that the righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that has clean hands shall be not weaker and weaker, but shall be stronger and stronger spiritually. Now, first of all here, Job mentions about the righteous. Who are the righteous? Who are the ones and the only ones who are going to hold on to God's way or hold on to their way as believers? Well, Job here by the righteous means it is those people, whether it be male, female, whoever they are, whatever time, whether in the Old Testament or in the New or in these days, those who are, it's not their own righteousness that makes them righteous. They are those who are made truly righteous in the sight of God by the righteousness of their Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, which he fulfilled for them when he came into this world incarnate and grew up, and he lived a perfect life for them and died for their sins upon the cross. It is that righteousness of Christ which is put to them when they believed in his name, when they believed in him and his person and in this work of his. They receive it by faith, and in consequence of which they go on to live a righteous and sober and godly and holy life. These are the righteous. They are not the self-righteous. They are those who are righteous only in and through Christ and believing in him, receiving God's righteousness and the righteousness of Christ. They receive it through this channel of faith, through this instrument of faith, all that Christ has done for them in his life and in his death. Now, my dear friends, it is these people, and it is only these, and it is all of these that shall hold on to his or their way. And Job here, when he says his way, he's referring here, Christ is the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. They are those who hold on to him, and they are those who hold on to his way, we might say in these days, that hold on to the Christian way. In other words, once believing in Christ and discipling Christ and following Christ will never fall away from him. They will continue in his way. That is the way here. Christ the way in whom the believer walks as he has received him as the Lord his righteousness. So that's the righteous, and that's the way. But now this is the promise. And my dear friends, Scripture is full of promises, both of the Old Testament and the New. Don't neglect the Old Testament, it is full of promises. And the promises that are in the Old Testament are for us today. There are people who teach that they're not, but they are. The Old Testament promises are for God's people today. And this is the promise. That if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, if you've received by faith the righteousness of Christ, that you shall hold on. You will never let go. He won't let go of you. You shall hold on to his or your way. That means you won't apostatize. If you're a true believer, you won't apostatize. You won't go back altogether, completely, totally. You won't be at a full stop or a spiritual standstill. You will not turn aside lastingly, either to the right hand or to the left, as you seek to go down this narrow road which leads to everlasting life. You will not do this in this his way. No, rather, better, you will go on. Doesn't it amaze you sometimes that you are enabled by God to go on in the Christian life in spite of everything that sometimes is against you, the world, the flesh and the devil, and sometimes you're knocked down and sometimes you sin. You wonder, how am I going to go on? And yet, in a wonderful way, God gives you the grace to go on. You shall go on, or you shall persevere in this way in the Christian life. Quotation. And though he, the Christian, meets with discouragements in the way, from sin and Satan and the world, yet he goes on. And though he may slip, spiritually slip and slide and stumble and even fall, yet as the traveller, when this is his case, gets up again and pursues his journey, so the believer rises again in the strength of Christ in whom he walks, and in the exercise of faith and repentance, and still goes on in his way, rejoicing in Christ his righteousness and strength, and to which his going on is owing, and not to his own conduct, power and strength. The righteous, you will hold on to your way. And then he also says the promise that he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Now the Lord here perhaps means, or Job meant, as he said these words to Eliphaz the Temanite, is that one that has and lives a whole, or has a holy, pure and upright heart and life as a believer, works righteousness, speaks the truth in his heart, doesn't swear deceitfully, Psalm 15 and verse 1 and 2, Psalm 24 verses 3 and 4, all this arising from an inward principle of grace in the heart, such shall be given as they need it, as they ask for it, as they desire and want it, shall be given more and more strength and grace by God to deal with their inward corruptions, to deal with temptations, to deal with adversities, difficulties, trials and tribulations, and so consequently to endure, persevere to the end of their Christian lives, till they appear before God in Zion above. That is the promise, my dear friends. God will keep on giving to you the grace and the strength to keep on going, to go on, until at last you reach Emmanuel's land, you reach the glory itself. Because God, although we have limited strength, God has infinite strength to help us to overcome all the difficulties in the Christian life. So you have it there in Job chapter 17 and verse 9. I trust that you see it there. But you also have it in Psalm 94 and verse 14. If you turn to the book of Psalms, the Psalter, Psalm 94 and verse 14, there the psalmist, I don't know who the psalmist was who wrote this verse, but another verse here, supporting the first, driving the first verse home, if you like, driving it deeper into our minds and into our hearts and our souls. The promise here is for the Lord, Jehovah, the promise will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance, God will not, he will never, there's a hymn, isn't there? He will never, no, never, no, never forsake. It can't be repeated too often. Perhaps it can to us, who sometimes feel that he does forsake and forget us, but he won't. He will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. Again here, when the psalmist says about his people, he's not thinking about all people. He's thinking about God's people. The Lord's people, his peculiar or special people that God has chosen before the foundation of the world. Called by his grace into the grace of Christ. Those who he has foreknown. Those who he's loved before the foundation of the world. Loved with an everlasting love. And those whom he has redeemed. He's applied the precious blood of Christ to their lives. He sent the Spirit of God into their lives to quicken them and to grant them repentance and faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. These are the ones he's dealing with here, not everybody, but God's people. My dear friend, there is a warning here. If you're not one of the Lord's people, if you're not one of the Lord's people, if you're not a Christian this morning, these things are not true of you. You're not somebody like every saint who's going to come to faith in Christ. I trust that it will happen to you. And you'll endure to glory, to heaven, to perfect bliss and happiness, and peace forever and forever. If you don't become a Christian, my dear friend, well then you will have to pay for your own sins and go to a lost eternity. So my dear friend, I encourage you this morning to turn to God, to turn to his Son Jesus Christ, and to believe on him, that these promises that are only true of God's people might be also true of you, might encompass you and your life. So these are, it has to do with his people. And the promise is God won't cast them off. He will never cast them away. He will never cast them off. He will never cast out his people. Romans chapter 11 and verse 2. He won't cast them out from being on his heart, close to his heart. For they are set as a seal there, nor from being in his sight, for they are engraven on the palms of his hands. He will never forsake them. He will never forget them. Though, now this is very important, so that we might not misunderstand something. God's dealings with us, though he may seem to do so temporarily sometimes. You might know this as a Christian. It might seem sometimes God is casting you off. He might seem to be forsaking you. He may seem to do that so temporarily. They may think he has forgotten them, but he hasn't. When he does not immediately arise for their help in distress, and when he withdraws his presence or afflicts them or suffers them to be afflicted or oppressed by others, which is the context of this psalm. God's people, the Jews at this time, were being afflicted by the nations that were round about Israel, and they perhaps felt that God had cast them off, God had forsaken and forgotten, but he had not. And he proved that later on. And sometimes as a Christian, you're going to feel like this. It's going to seem as though God has cast you off, God has forgotten you, God has forsaken you. But he hasn't. And he never will, because his word says so. Don't listen to the whispers of the devil. Cling on to God's word and his promise at such a time. Don't listen so much to your feelings, but have faith and trust in the word of God. No, rather, God will love you. He'll grant you nearness to himself, and he'll take the greatest care of you and delight in you, even as the apple of his eye. It says at the end of this verse that he won't forsake his inheritance. He never will. He will never finally and totally forsake them, nor his work in them. It doesn't matter how old they are as a Christian, how young they are as a Christian. Why? Because you are his chosen inheritance. You are like his jewels. You're precious to him. You've been saved by the precious blood of his Son. You have precious faith. Your death is going to be precious. Everything is precious about you. And so he will never do this, though he may sometimes seem to forsake you for a little while. Beware in the Christian life of just going on your feelings all the time. Oh, it feels as though God has forsaken me. It feels as though God has cast me off. It feels as though God has forgotten me. The scriptures say that the mother may sometimes forget her sucking child, but God promises that he will never, ever forget about us. He will never cast us off forever. We will persevere to the end, be saved, and not everlastingly perish. A final text this morning is this, before we close. Psalm 125 and verses 1 and 2. Perhaps of all of these, this perhaps is the most powerful, this is the most graphic, this is the one that is illustrated here for us, that those who trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. So these people here are those who trust in God at all times and for all spiritual and temporal blessings. What is true of them? Well, that they shall be totally immovable, like Mount Zion, like Jerusalem, like the city Jerusalem, which was such a solid city. And it was built upon a hill, it was built upon a mount. I suppose you could say that, you know, that hill or that city to some degree is immovable. But believers are not movable. They are immovable from off the sure spiritual foundation of Jesus Christ, from out of the covenant of state of grace that they're in, from out of the hands of Christ, from the love of God. And they are immovable on the heart of God. We used to sing, didn't we, perhaps in the playgrounds, we shall not be moved. And that's true of every Christian. We shall not be moved from out of grace, from out of the covenant of grace, from out of Christ. Nothing can move us from that position. Nothing, once we're in Christ, nothing can bring us out of him again. We'll be immovable, like a mountain, solid as a rock, sure and strong. And also, just like Mount Zion, Jerusalem was compassed about by mountains, even so every believer shall be encompassed and surrounded by God and by his favors, love, and special grace forever, so that they shall finally persevere in grace and be eternally saved. So in relation to that verse, think about Jerusalem. Think about the hill upon which it was on. Think about any mountain. Look at it. Look how strong it is. In the end, mountains are going to be moved. But temporarily, they're never going to be moved. They are solid, immovable. And that is you as a Christian in Christ, spiritually immovable and compassed about by God. God will be a wall of fire round about you and a glory in the midst of you. So we've looked this morning at what perseverance is, and we looked at these three Old Testament verses upon it to confirm this. Job 79, Psalm 94 and verse 14, and Psalm 125 and verses 1 and 2. Well, my dear friends, to close these questions. As a Christian, are you holding on to God's way or your way as a Christian? Are you becoming stronger and stronger? Well, the scriptures teach us that if you're one of his people and if you're walking with him, then you will be. And you will become stronger and stronger spiritually as a Christian. Think of that verse in the Old Testament. The path of the just is the shining light that shines more and more the perfect day. We become more holy. We become more godly. We should become more spiritual, more like God, more like Christ. We should be becoming stronger and stronger spiritually as the Lord's people. Secondly, that first psalm text in that psalm. Has the Lord not cast you off? Has he not forsaken you? Well, my dear friend, I assure you, if you are one of his true people, one of his true children, If you are part of his spiritual inheritance, he hasn't. You might think it, you might feel it, Satan might whisper it, but he hasn't. He will never cast you off. He will never forsake you. He has not forgotten about you and about your situation. You're one of his dear people, blood-bought people. He loves you. He's loved you with an everlasting love. He's loved you with the love of Calvary. How can he ever possibly forget you? You might forget about him. Your love sometimes might grow very weak, but he will never diminish in his love to you. He will never forget or forsake you. And are you like Mount Zion? Is the Lord round about you from this time, even forever? Well, if you're trusting in the Lord as one of his people, this is what you will be like. And he is with you. He's an omnipresent God. He's not only an all-powerful God or knowing God. He's an omnipresent God. He's around you. He's with you to shield you and to protect you and to keep you. You're kept by the power of God, even to salvation, to your full salvation, to your full redemption in glory. Trust, my dear friend, these things are all true of you. May the Lord bless these words of his to us and this message on these things this morning to us. Amen.
Amen.